Today on Real Life Radio.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Close quote. You do well, or you're doing the right thing. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. The word in the Greek is you're committing it now, 24 hours a day, over and over again, you're committing it, and you're convicted by the law as a transgressor.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What if today was the day that Jesus returned? Pretty good question that changes everything about how we live. In a world filled with distractions and uncertainty, One Day Nearer is the book by Steve Miller. It's this month's featured resource from Pastor Jack Hibbs. It invites you to refocus on what truly matters, living with the hope of Christ's return. Now, this powerful book offers biblical insight and practical encouragement, helping you approach every moment with faith, and purpose, and joy, because each day, no matter how ordinary it seems, brings us closer to the extraordinary reality of eternity with Him.
It's a 365-day devotion, and all of it is themed around being prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Don't just get through your days, live them with the anticipation of what's to come. One Day Nearer, it's our book of the month. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his series called The Book of James, with a message titled Partiality and Its Influence. Now, before it became one of the books of the New Testament, James was a letter that was sent to the Jews who chose to follow Jesus Christ. And as new believers, James urges them not to show partiality. You see, partiality and favoritism are not Christian virtues. Our faith in God should keep us from showing partiality to the rich and powerful and inspire us to love the poor as we love ourselves. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that wealth can go to our heads and affect our hearts. Having wealth is not in itself evil, but people having wealth often exploit the poor, while God chooses the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of His kingdom. Now with his message called Partiality and Its Influence, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
James says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen, selected?" The word is to pick out and to draw alongside too, to get near. Who? The poor who are rich in faith. Now look, God is not saying if you're poor, hey, you get to go to heaven automatically. It doesn't matter what you believe. You're poor. If your income's under $13,000 a year, you go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. Then I'm sure you're smarter than all that. It's equally ridiculous to think, well, you know, I've never had anything in my life, so surely God owes me my own little avenue up there in heaven. No, that's not true. Jesus let us in on a little bit of an insight here. He said, oh, it is hard for a rich man to go through to get into the kingdom. It's about as easy as a camel going through the eye of a needle. You ever try to stuff a camel through the eye of a needle? And you say, well, that's kind of a stupid thought. Well, in Israel, there's a gate that is called the eye of the needle. And the merchants, if they could get through that gate, could save themselves a lot of time. Instead of by going around, they could go through. They would unload their camel, and they would get that camel all slipped down and laid out and pull that camel. They got one guy on one side of the wall pulling that camel's neck, yanking on that thing. And on the backside, they're kicking that camel. And come on, man, you stupid camel. And they'd be trying to get that thing through the eye of the needle. Jesus maybe was walking by at that moment. He says, hey, considering a rich man getting in the kingdom of God, get a load of that. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. That gate. Why, does God have something against rich people? My personal belief is, if Christians could learn how to handle their money, I think God might bless them more to bless the kingdom more. Now, I'm not into some kind of prosperity thing. You know me. But if Christians would learn how to handle money and use it for the kingdom of God, He might bless them more. It's hard because a rich man begins to think, I don't have to take this. I'm not going to sit in that car. A rich man begins to think, you didn't fill that drink up all the way. A rich man begins to dictate and to, it goes to his head, it affects his heart. Interesting. Jesus says you can't serve, you can either serve God or mammon, God or money, one or the other. Money's not evil. The love of it is. The poor, they don't have the problem of arrogance and self-reliance and dependence upon their wealth. They don't have it, so they have an easier time of trusting in God. Why? The veneer has been stripped away. A lot of the junk's been removed. Are you with me? Do you understand? It's pretty clear. But there are some poor people who lust after riches so much that they're missing the kingdom by a couple hundred thousand miles too. James is saying concerning the conduct of Calvary Chapel, if the rich exclude the poor in this church, something's severely wrong. It's very, very sick. And this church needs to be purged or cleansed or doctored up, or somehow there needs to be a medicine applied. He says, hasn't he chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Heirs of the kingdom. Verse 5 argues for the benevolent love of God. He's just benevolent. He loves to be good. He loves to bless. Jesus says the poor you'll have with you always. I think he's arranged it that way. He's chosen the poor. It says in verse 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. This is a powerful word, he says here in verse 6, to dishonor. It's a word means that you've set aside. You have rendered them contemptible. It's a poor man. All of us needs to take this little test right now to show you how much this is in our hearts. There's a thing within our nature that if you and I, let's say you and I today, we call for a limousine. Limousine? Yeah, it's very out of our realm, isn't it? We just do it, though, okay? Let's do it. We call for one. And we get in it. It'd have to be a big one, but we'd get in it. And we say, let's go to, you name it. Let's go down to Rodeo Drive, and let's get some clothes. So we get some clothes. The ride in the limo down to Rodeo, what is that, a 30, 45 minute drive-ish from here? It's not very far, we can do that. We get us some new clothes. Do you know what we begin to do? We begin to act different. Has anything changed on the inside? Not a thing. People are driving on the freeway. They're looking at our car. Who's in there? Who's in there? Who's? And we put down the window just far enough for them to see our eyes to make me just drive them crazy. Or we have sunglasses on and the window goes down just a bit. It's a game. It's played. We'd go to a restaurant. There's an In-N-Out Burger off the 5th and La Cienega right there. Just pull that big one. Well, the car would pull up, and you know, people that treat you different. Sir, this. Oh. Now, we've all eaten before. We do it every day. Most of us do it all day. We sit down. We're quite able to put a napkin on our lap, if we use a napkin at all. And you go to these places, and this guy comes up. There's a guy. He seats you. There's another guy that stands there. He's like the coach. He's like watching. He's like seeing if there's any kind of a foul, you know. Do you stand in there? You sit down. This other guy comes up, and he brings you the napkin. And he lays it across your lap. It's like kind of weird. What's going on here? It's just kind of weird. Who lives like this? And they talk to you in language. It's English, and we don't understand what they're saying. All of a sudden, in one outing, and as these things are acquired and acquired, it begins to change the way you think and who you associate with. It gets under your skin. It's a pollutant. It's a danger. It's taking the things that God's provided and exploited them to improper use, and it excludes people. And you put yourself, honestly, right now, put yourself there. You're out in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. The car pulls up and you're getting out. You're going to hear people, who's that? Who's that? Well, nobody knows. You're nobody. But you pretend you're somebody. It's an evil of the human heart. And none of us are over that or above that. Don't tell me you are. James and John, they hung around Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. What are they talking about? Well, you know he's going to be the big kahuna in heaven. I mean, I know God's going to be on the throne and the angels will be all there, but Peter thought he'd be the one. After all, Peter probably said, he gave me the keys. James and John, their mama caught wind of that. And she goes up there and she says, Jesus, I got to talk to you. When you set up your kingdom, I want you to have my boys, James and John, one on either side of you. Can you imagine she said that? I can't believe that. It's in the blood. And when it's like this and left unchecked, a church becomes divided. The movers and shakers, they sit around about this location right about over here. And there's this, the missionary group, they're about over here. Listen, you start seeing the church form like that, we're sick. Okay, it's time we pluck the dove. That's not good. Be careful. Why? We dishonor the poor. We look down at them like they're not equal to us. You ever seen a poor man cry? They cry just like a rich man. You ever seen a poor man bleeding? Same color blood.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
He says, do not the rich oppress you. The word oppress means to seize with a position of authority, to exercise dominion with intent to exploit. Do not the rich seek to exploit you? You know, as a church, you know what big business is now, sad to say? Big business now is us making sure that we always have our malpractice insurance up and current and doing well and the latest and the strongest. Did you know that? 5 years ago, it was unheard of. A church now has to have malpractice insurance because somebody might accuse and you better be ready to go to court. Do not the rich exploit? We're going through a lot of contract stuff, a lot of signing the papers and all kinds of things going on regarding the city of Chino and property and all kinds of stuff and all kinds of records going back to the Spanish-American War. I mean, it's amazing. When was the last time a whalebone was spotted? And if you see anything that resembles a plesiosaurus, you know, let us, and it's all, yay, yay. And you better hope and pray that there's no spotted owl or kangaroo rat. And the latest scare now is some stupid fly. A fly! Jesus, we just want to build a church and, you know, praise you and... Well, it all depends if there's a fly on them. You know what? You don't open your mouth without an attorney sitting next to you. It's wild. Why? Because the guys who own the gazillion billions of dollars, they'll go to court to get $5. It's the weirdest thing. So a church is buying the property, huh? It's so weird. Be careful. Oppress, seize upon, to drag with a necessity. They think they have a necessity to bind you and drag you, to yoke. The word can be yoke together. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1, listen, dare any of you, he's talking to Christians, do any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous? That is, do any Christians sue each other? Paul says, no way. Do you not know that the saints of God will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the smallest matters that are among you? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? That's a weird thought. God's going to give us a lot of smarts somehow in the future, because we're going to judge angels. How much more the things pertaining to life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed in the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you in your church? Not even one who will be able to judge between you and your brother? No, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelieving judges. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against another. And why do you not rather accept the wrong that's been done to you? In other words, what Paul is saying, why don't you just put a sock in it? If they've ripped you off, leave it alone. Let God be the judge. Defending one another, fighting one another. Be careful. I don't care if a Christian in any status is saying, well, I'm going to sue you. That person does not. I better watch it. Can that person know Christ? Maybe be ignorant of the Bible until they hear that verse. But dare any of you sue one another at the law? No. Finally, we close. Do not they, verse 7, blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Regarding their actions, not the words. We're not talking about cussing here. Cursings. We're talking about treating a poor person subculture, sub-Christian. That's blasphemous. I'm committing blasphemy. If I turn to this person who's a Christian and maybe they don't suit what I think ought to be acceptable, it's a form of blasphemy. Verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, and here it comes, this is it, this is the big one, the one and only, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, close quote. You do well, or you're doing the right thing. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. The word in the Greek is you're committing it now, 24 hours a day, over and over again, you're committing it, and you're convicted by the law as a transgressor. Here's what we want to end with. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that cool? That's it. How many times do you hear this in the Bible? From Old to New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll leave you with this thought. If we're going to heaven, do those in our area, do our neighbors know how to get there? I'm not asking if they've accepted the offer. Maybe most have rejected, but do they know the way? We have a ministry here that takes the burden off your shoulders. If you have a neighbor who has not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you leave, there's a strip of paper there. It's the call, and it says, just give us their address. We don't even want their name. Just give us their address. We'll show up and present the gospel to them. We won't even tell them you sent us. Hey, that's a pretty good deal, don't you think? It's a good thing. Because if I let my neighbor go to hell, if I just neglect him, haven't I shown partiality? You can close your Bible and think on this. My flight instructor, when I was learning how to fly, the tower said something to me and sounded good to me. It's what I wanted to hear. My instructor said, what makes you so sure about what he just said is true? He's the air traffic controller. And he said, Jack, listen, do you want to grow up to be an old pilot? He said, let's remember one thing. That guy is standing in that tower or sitting, and he put it this way. I hope no offense to anybody. He said, that guy is sitting there, fat, dumb, and happy. And he's going home at 5 o'clock. If you make it down or not. He said, question everything. Make sure it's right. As a church, God is blessing this place, but you know what? We got to make sure we're going the right way. Are we doing the right thing? We want to bring as many men, women, and children, boys, girls, as possible to the kingdom of God. We want to be crazy about it. We want to love them until they're loved up. We want to reach the world, even if it starts going through these doors in a moment. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us to not only do what James has encouraged us to do, but that we might live for you. And Lord, help us to empty this sanctuary right now to accommodate third service. In the time remaining, we love you. And we look forward to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Partiality and Its Influence. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of James. It's a series on being doers of the Word of God and not just hearers only. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
I don't know if I'd call it a bribe, but I make a deal with my 8-year-old grandson, and we pick out a Bible verse that I haven't memorized it, and he hasn't memorized it. And the next week, I'll call him to give, you know, do the next one. And if he has the one from the week before memorized, I put $5 into a bank account for him. And I kind of bribing him, but that's all right, though, isn't
it? That's not bribery.
I think it's fun.
Listen, well, you think it's fun because it's a biblical thing to do, and let me explain. The scripture commands the grandparents to be laying up money for the children.
Huh.
In our culture, we've so abandoned God that now when people grow older, they lean on their children to take care of them.
Mm.
The reverse is biblical. The parent, the grandparent is to labor in such a way that they save up resources for the grandchildren.
Huh.
In this case, it's beautiful because you're teaching your child that good behavior can be rewarded. It doesn't have to be, but in your case, you're doing that.
Might as well.
There is a relationship established where you guys are exchanging the Word of God together. And the fact that you are putting it in a bank account is actually brilliant because it's teaching him a plethora of things. The Bible, Papa loves the Bible. I want to be like my Papa. We memorize this together.
Yeah.
The legacy, let's be honest, the legacy is when you pass into the arms of Jesus, he's going to miss that like crazy.
Yeah.
That's a legacy. And that's what you want to experience. But the cool thing is this little account that will build up over time, he will have a great respect, I predict, a great respect. He's not going to spend that money on bubble gum or some plastic piece of junk, because I got that with my papa.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.